Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Jimmy Boy.
T. Shavs, mate.
You're walking wounded today.
I've been very sick for the past week, so I'm actually like a wounded sportsman, like just trying to get up for the grand final right now.
You need a jab.
I'm on all types of drugs. I'm basically methed out right now. I'm on all speed, so I apologize to everyone for my voice. It will probably go. I do have a bit of a sexy voice going on right now.
Yeah, it's sort of on the edge there.
A stiff breeze will get you going, I reckon, but these days.
Okay, these days.
So I apologize to everyone. I've been sick as a dog, but in saying that, it's exciting to watch MotoGP.
Yes, the last leg of the European season, I suppose, until we get back to Portimao in the second last race. So,
which I had no idea about until we were talking about. It feels like we were just in Jerez or whenever the first European round is. Like, I can't believe how quickly this has gone.
I know, it's race by, and then obviously we've got Japan and then Indonesia and then Australia and then Malaysia. So it's all it's four big weekends, four massive flyaway races for the boys and girls in the team. So a big month and a half coming up, which we're super excited about. But dude, like Bezzecchi, I mean, that for me was like one of the rides of the season. I mean, what he put, I mean, Marquez is Marquez and he's just a magician. Yeah. But what Bez put up last night was magnificent. Yeah. And I know he's got lots of track knowledge there, and I know he's, you know, it's his home base. But for him to just push, then third last lap, fastest lap, Marquez responds. I mean, that was box office stuff.
Box office, man. I said to you this in the car today. I said, if it was anyone else in the world and it wasn't Marc Marquez, Marco Bezzecchi would be winning that race.
Yes. And where he's come from, James. I say this every week. We're standing there in Thailand watching the race, and he's out the back, 18th, I think he finished. And
he just couldn't get a grip on that bike at all.
Him to turn it around and the turmoil that Aprilia have been through as well. I mean, feel-good story of the year.
Absolute feel-good story.
Apart from Marquez, comeback kid.
And it's really hard because you don't want to like understate what Marquez has done, because it's been absolutely incredible. But the turnaround Bezzecchi has had and you don't really see it this often, where a turnaround during the season, where you really actually watch it visibly in right in front of you happening,
and gradually
happening. But then, like we had him in Fraud Watch, it was King Fraud for a while, but to turn it around and Aprilia to turn it around like they have, is absolutely incredible. And you're right, like it is Misano, they know the track. Like Marini was quick there, everyone was quick there, all those Italian boys. But you know, you still got to be fast. But I think, the biggest factor out of all that is exactly what you said, Tom, is he's the only person right now, except for maybe Alex Marquez, where can take it to Mark and to put those fastest laps in and to pressure Mark. And you could tell that Mark Marquez was riding on the edge. Mm. Like, you know, we normally say he's got 3/10 in his back pocket. He didn't have 3/10 in his back pocket that race.
No.
So credit to him, because it was a phenomenal race by him. And he's an absolute star of the future. And I hope that he keeps building momentum and building momentum, because I'd love to see him be wildly successful.
Mm. And there was a lot of people didn't catch this on the footage. Mark ran wide a couple of times. Yes. Nearly lost the front end. It wasn't shown on the TV. But yeah, he was on the ragged edge. And you could tell both of them got him back to the pits. And, like, Mark had that adrenaline rush of winning, but they were both cooked. Like,
cooked, man. They were cooked. And then, like, you know, quickly just gone to the sprint race. Like, Mark had a point to prove.
Yeah.
Crashed, pushing too hard, said he relaxed a little bit too much. A bit of an old school Mark Marquez thing to do, which is fine, which we'll unpack that, you know, later on. But so then he's already going up against a Mark Marquez that wants to point make a point to prove, especially with all the Italian fans. So, like, to pressure him the whole way through, like he kind of did an Assen, but I still felt like Mark had a few tents up his back pocket. But for Misano, man, like, yeah, very, very good effort.
Yeah. We'll get into all this soon, but we want to thank, obviously, our partners, Motor Heaven.
Yeah, we got excited, didn't we?
Mm.
Yeah, motorheaven.com.au. Shout out to them. The guys down there doing a fantastic job. Any parts, accessories. They've got a new-looking website at the moment. It's looking awesome. So it's new and improved again. All your big brands. I think a shout out to Alice to Helmets. They've got them at Motor Heaven for 15% off.
Wow.
Which is really good. So they don't do that often. So even check out the LS2 helmets out there for 15% off at motoheaven.com.au. Get yourself a, I think they're doing like a Furman Eldegard lid as well and everything like that. So it's cool.
And yeah, YouTube, guys, we really appreciate the love on that. Subscribe, like the video if you can. It really helps us move forward with all the content. So we do appreciate it. But let's jump into results. So,
and Patreon, just real quick. We'll be filming our Patreon straight after this episode if I have a voice left. otherwise, it'll be Tom by himself doing the Patreon. Maybe we'll get Curdy to substitute in.
We'll talk about all sorts of stuff and, you know, anime.
Curdy can't stop talking about the bullet through Charlie Kirk's neck, but that's all right.
Rest in peace. All right. So, I'll do Ornair to Dietje, okay?
Oh, surely not.
Ornair, Mark Marquez. Due, Marco Bezzecchi.
Sepsi's having a... Sepsi's freaking out right now.
Tre, Alex Marquez. Croccio, Franco Morbidelli. Sette, Digia. Six, Aldeguer. Seventh, Muridi. Eighth, Quartararo, ninth. Miguel Oliveira. Yeah. We'll talk about him later. I want to have a chat to him about you, because how often does this happen? Yeah. I mean, the guy gets booted and then he starts finishing in top 10.
Dead
to me.
Cat bounce.
Oh, it's hilarious. And then Brad Binder rounding out the top 10.
What's 10?
Dietje.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You know, I got a funny story on that real quick. First time I met my missus' parents, they're Maltese, and they had to, you know those like chocolate things you got to unwrap? It's in Italian. And everyone has to read it out in Italian. And I'm like the Aussie guy that walks in there. And you know, there's the point where you either like don't do it or you just commit.
Yeah.
I just had to commit and just made an absolute fool of myself trying to read Italian. But that's the only way you can do it.
You gotta do it.
And they kind of, they patted me on the back, but you know, they were like, stupid buddy. Dumb idiot.
Where should we start? Mark Marquez, we've touched on. I mean, bounce back from the weekend. I mean, he crashed in the sprint.
Unforced error, bro.
Unforced error, but again...
Getting pushed.
He wanted to prove a point, and I think he treats the sprint like that to a certain extent sometimes and seeing how hard he can press and push the tyre. So, for me, it was an interesting reaction from Rossi. I don't think he was, you know, celebrating like they were portraying on the internet.
Have you seen... I think it's DAZN Sports Spain or Sky Sports Spain, one of those. Like... Their media outlet is the ultimate propaganda against Valentino Rossi Italians. Yeah. And the Italians are the exact... Like, so no wonder they all hate each other because their main sources of the media is just... They're going up against each other. And, like, they're putting up photos of Valentino it's looking like he's celebrating with Mark, but it could be any time of the day where he's making those, like, gestures. Like, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I don't know. It's funny just seeing it from the outside, I guess.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's exciting. It's still exciting for us to talk about that rivalry, especially in that part of the world. So,
did you see the fans going giving the bird to Marquez?
Well, it's funny.
I want to talk. I've made sure to hold off because I want to talk to you.
I had notes and
go.
I don't know. I said cameraman sprint with Marquez. I don't know what they mean, but what I was meaning to say was. He was right on the ball because the cameraman, as soon as Marquez crashed, went to that fan or the three fans that were putting the finger up. And like you could tell, obviously Italian wanted to capture it. Yeah. I'm not sure if the cameraman traveled with MotoGP or not, but I just thought that was hilarious that that's the spot they chose to show. It wasn't the team. It wasn't you know, it wasn't him.
On the well, side of, they side showed of the team and then they went to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. But yeah, it was hilarious. And I mean, they, I love that. You gotta love that. It was hilarious.
I think you gotta like, I...
The passion, it's fun. And it's like, it's even when the footage of when Rossi was celebrating, quotation marks, when Marquez crashed, all the personnel around him who were always all Rossi people, they were like, yes, like they were cheering. And Rossi kept himself quite mellow and whatever. But there's still such a rivalry there. Who cheers when someone crashes? It's unbelievable. Like, as in, there's no other two guys in the world that the opposition would crash, is there? Like, it would celebrate after a crash.
No, no, it's only though. They're the most two pulverizing people that will happen to. Look, and I love the responses out of all it. Like, it's hard because I like how, yes, people get up and about and they get passionate, but you still also, it's a devil on both shoulders almost because these guys are still risking their lives. So do you really want to be like so excited if someone's hurting themselves or like, you know, crashing at 200 kilometers an hour? So like, I don't know, you kind of got to look out at it both sides. And I don't know how to really look at it. It's hard.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's dangerous. I mean, the classic example is that was Mir in qualifying crashed and looked like a really, I don't know, really small incident, just crashing at the hairpin before the back straight. And I'm thinking to myself, why is he taking so long to get out of the sand trap? Because I'm thinking, oh, he's keeping that yellow flag out there. Yeah, he's keeping the yellow flag out there so no one beats his time because there's about 2 or 3 minutes left. But then he misses the whole of Saturday. He misses a sprint. He's going to sit out for the race. I'm like, he just went down. Hit the neck, hurt it. I mean, it's so easy on these. They're going so fast, especially that corner that Marquez crashed. Yeah. That's a fast corner.
Fast corner. So, like, I don't know. These guys risk their lives for our entertainment. So, maybe if I was a rider, I'd be like, you know, that's fucking bullshit at the same time. Like,
yeah.
And then Mark had a great response and said, well, those people define themselves. And he defines himself from racing. And then he obviously wins the Grand Prix. And then walks out with the leather suit doing the Messi to all the Italian fans. You can hear the Italian fans whistling and booing.
No, the whistling again, James.
They love the whistling. The hissing. The hissing like cats.
We had a lot of comments about that.
That was so funny.
So it's whistling like do they whistle. They whistle. Or they
They whistle. It's like the away fan. Like when they...
What is it?
Yeah, it's like whistling. I can't whistle. But I can't even talk right now. I can't even fucking whistle at the moment. But yeah, so he was like doing that in front of a hostile Italian crowd. And it makes me think, Tom, is there any rider in history that revels more in the pressure and the hate than Marc Marquez? Because there was a lot of pressure coming into this weekend. Tardozzi put a lot of pressure on him. He said that. And then there was even more pressure after he crashed in the sprint race to then have all that pressure from Bezzecchi, the Italian hometown hero in Misano, Rossi's heartland, and then wins and then does that celebration. I don't think there's a rider, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think there's a rider that revels more in the hatred and the pressure and just the cauldron of it all.
Yeah, I think, I mean, going four wheels, Lewis Hamilton was like that. The more hostile it was, the faster he was. And it's incredible. And how he does all the talking on the track. He doesn't say anything in the media to offend anybody, to spark rumors. He doesn't do anything like that. He's never been like that. He's the one who put his hand out to shake Rossi's hand in that press conference all those years ago with the refusal. He's never done anything off track. You know, he's been a very aggressive rider of his career. But so was Rossi. I mean, we're going to have a whole special on this at the end of the year. So
yeah, it's poor Bezzecchi, bro. We just gave him his comeuppance and now we're just going straight back into Rossi.
We'll get there. It's, we'll get there. Bez has the opportunity to be the biggest superstar in Italy right now. And he's going to do it if he continues the way he does. But yeah, going back to we're going to have a full special on this at the end of the year, Rossi versus Marquez, because that documentary coming out, and we'll dissect it even further. You've never seen anything dissected. for me, it still lingers 10 years later after that incident, but it's still so exciting for MotoGP. And I think, you know, they need that as well. They would love all that.
Love it. And it's exciting because you've got Marquez who's about to equal Valentino's record. You got him like 16 races away from Valentino's race wins, you know, and he's won like 14 this year or something. So,
well, he's recalled Dovizioso's 14 wins in Ducati in one season.
Yeah, I know. Well, technically two. Yeah.
He's got one.
I know. Crazy.
Which is wild. When you think Dovi was around a long time. I mean, I didn't have the dominant bike that Marquez has got in quotation marks again. But yeah, it's exciting. What's Marquez going to 26? Everyone goes, we're going to have to talk about Bagnaia. Marquez going onto a 26 bike that's going to be a glorified 24, hopefully will suit Bagnaia again. But then also, Mark's never ridden this 24. So, mate, this is going to be domination next year as well. We have to admit, there's no way that Bagnaia can turn it around this much, because if he wasn't at rock bottom, James Shaw, he is rock bottom now.
He's 100% rock bottom. I don't see, just quickly going on to your point with Mark, I see it still being a domination, but not as big. I think he likes a Jorge Martin. Mm. I think Pecco Bagnaia will claw himself back. Bezzecchi will be faster. Costa will be faster. The gap will close.
So instead of 185 points, it might be 145.
Yeah, or 95. Where Marquez has obviously still got the proven talent. He's obviously one of the GOATs. So, I think he's still going to be winning that championship, and he's still going to be winning it comfortably. Just more with the mind games than anything.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It scares people out of it. T-Shavs, mate, we all know that you're a Mr. Aprilia. You love riding. I want to know, where do you get your motorcycle gear from?
Mate, there is only one place I get all my gear from, apart from the guy down the street, and that's Moto Heaven in Moorabbin, okay? They are a family-owned business, which we love. They always have the best prices. Yep. And if I want to get something shipped to my house, it's free delivery over $150. So for me, it's really a no-brainer.
Right, so you get all the best gear, and then... is it better than going to the dumb big corporate chains?
They don't care about you. No. You know, you can't call the owner of them to ask questions.
No.
Adrian's always on my phone list, and I can always call him to
He's always help me calling out. You.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, I love it. So head to motorheaven.com.au where you never pay full price. They got all the big brands, super fast dispatch, ship anywhere around Australia. You can get whatever you want.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. But going to Pecco Bagnaia, I don't think he can turn it around like that. He's at absolute rock bottom now. He says it's he said a quote over the weekend, "I'm living a nightmare." Crashed in the main race. I think he was eighth or ninth or whatever, or maybe further back. Maybe he was out of the points.
He got up to eighth or ninth, and then he got up to 10th. A couple of people crashed in front of him, then started trickling back and then crashed. I mean, he was 13th in the sprint.
Yeah, that's what he was, 13th in the sprint. And then it's lost the front, but
I've been half wanting him to do this, pushing hard enough to actually then crash. Because for me, him going back and finishing 13th or 14th, there's no point. Mm. You might as well try and go for a top five rather than relinquish, 10th or 11th. When with that's what happened in the sprint, I couldn't believe I've never seen him. Just so nowhere. I mean, this is happening countless times this year, but
it's getting worse and worse as the season goes on, because everyone else is progressing. KTM's progressing, Aprilia's progressing, Honda's progressing.
Yeah. And Digi's in the top five. You can't blame this 25 bike, and Marquez is winning. So, yeah. I mean, we had a great...
They brought back the... Olin's brought back the older forks. He's the only one on that's got a different travel on it, and that's the one he liked.
Yeah, still nowhere.
Nothing's working. Yeah. Now he's completely in his head, and it's a tough time. I think Delinga came out and said he's frustrated, Pecco's frustrated, everyone's frustrated, and there just doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, and he's gone to all the tracks that he loves.
You and Daniel had a podcast with Rossi's ex-mechanic.
Brent Stevens,
and he talked about on those Ducati days, everyone was trying to fix the bike. He had 14 guys trying to tell him this, tell him that. Exactly the same thing would be happening right now at Ducati.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think they're pretty regimented at Ducati, and that's why they're so successful. I don't think they're changing anything.
Oh, they're trying. They've tried that many things, though. I mean, they've run out of things to try.
Yeah, true. They are trying different things, but what Brent was talking about is the level of okay, everyone wanted to be Valentino's mate, and then they all wanted to put their own input in to make Valentino happy, where I think Ducati have gone away from that, and they're very regimented and very progressive on how to actually run a team, like with Tardozzi and De Lingua. But I think it's just a mental thing. Like, I don't know what else to say, and I hate to keep talking about it because I don't want to beat a man while he's down.
I was going to say it how it is, though.
Yeah, but I think it really is just a mental thing, and I would love for him to be up there and being fast again, but...
He almost had tears in his eyes at the end of that race, you know? It's crazy.
Tears in his eyes. Yeah, tears in his eyes when he crashed, and he's only... I think Bez is only 4 points off him now for third, so he's going to lose third place in that championship, and there's still six rounds or something to go. And he's struggling to score... Man, he's struggling to score now points or over 10 points around. It's bad for a factory Ducati. And if it's halfway through next year and it's the exact same thing, he ain't getting a signature.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you see even sort of Tardozzi's frustration in qualifying. And it's building. When you got these young riders coming out, Aldeguer still...
He got six.
Still, he's got six.
It's really good.
He's gonna be a star. He's you're gonna have a Costa looking for a ride soon as well. I mean,
he gave the finger to the KTM.
That's the sign, bro. Remember Marquez back at Sachsen Ring Honda? Like, that's the sign when you're fucking bringing the birds out. It's time to fly away.
There's famous footage. If anyone can find this, it's hard to find. There's famous footage of John Hopkins. I think his Rizla Suzuki breaks down in Qatar when they were still racing during the day. Could be wrong. And it's parked up on the side of the road and he's kicking it. He's kicking the bike. It's very funny. I remember watching that as a kid and I was like, it's being engraved in my brain. But KTM, the chain issues, bro, chain frauds.
Yeah, so all reports it was the ride height device that was putting too much tension on that chain. So it happened four times in the weekend. I mean, yeah, you'd think they'd probably make some adjustments after the first, but...
Oh, the second at least.
Financially, they just couldn't get it going, I suppose. Didn't have the resources to figure it out through the weekend.
Didn't have the chain mechanic. Couldn't have the chain breaker.
But when does that happen? I mean, I can think of one other occasion where a chain's gone and it's three in a weekend or whatever it was. So.
Bro, imagine being behind him and then getting whipped by a chain. That's
a great photo that they posted that everyone saw that chain coming off. I mean, geez, that'd be a deadly item. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, deadly. So yeah, it looked like it was coming out of the corners. All four incidents were coming out of the corners on with that rear ride height. So that's what I'm hearing today. That was the issue. So I mean, you think they'd hopefully rectify it?
You'd think so. Geez, but like it sucks for Pedro because he was on for a good race. And like he's finding form again as well. And the KTM is finding form for that new aero package. Obviously, he's still got bugs to sort. And like there's still a lot of room for improvement. Like they're not at the Aprilia or Ducati level, but they are getting there. Like they are making forward progress.
The way that bike puts down the power out of the corner and then that top speed was incredible. If you saw him behind Quartararo just passing with ease on that back straight, I mean, it was... I have two completely different motorcycles out there. Completely different categories. I mean, it's unbelievable.
That sucks. And that sucks for Yamaha.
Yeah. Bit of a world superbike moment, James. I found at the start of the race. Aigura's crash, didn't see. Vinales' crash, didn't see. Mir's crash, didn't see. And Zarco's crash, didn't see.
A lot. Even the crash of last week in Barcelona, it was when Morbidelli took out Martin, I think.
Yeah.
You only see it on the onboard footage of someone, and then right at the end of it, they actually pick it up. So I don't know what the world feed's doing.
Did a little bit of research today. There were some issues. Simon Patterson wrote there were some issues with the telecast. They couldn't get some replays. But you think multi-million dollar organization, you think they'd be able to produce. That's what people want to see. We want to see what happened. We want to see the replay. I mean, that's the main thing, isn't it? To see what's going on. Because James and I, if you're long-time listeners to the show, the most hilarious... funny thing was Superbike weekend, Phillip Island, World Superbikes last year. Johnny Ray had this massive crash, biggest crash people have ever seen. And they said, couldn't get footage of it.
There's no such thing as footage of that.
There's no footage.
Yeah. And I'm like... cameras, it was coming out of like MG, wherever it was.
It was on turn 12, like classic corner. Yeah. Like, of course you can have a camera there. Guy fell asleep for something, I don't know. It was on Saturday, it wasn't on the Friday.
It was on the Saturday, wasn't
so,
it?
So for me, like, inexcusable behaviour. Yeah, fraud-like behaviour.
They got Liberty Media's will sort that out.
So Alex Marquez, James, he was sort of sitting back. I was waiting for him to make his move and he hasn't got that sort of turn of speed like the other two, does he?
He just gave up. He even said he gave up. Mm. So he just didn't have the pace. He didn't have the grip. And he's like, all right, I'll sit back and take the points. It's not his day.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like Misano as it is,
mm.
which he said. So to get third, I think, yeah. Look, Alex Marquez, he's, yes, the second best rider on the grid so far. Like, he's second in the championship, but he's not... being just on a podium is good enough.
Yeah, amazing, yeah. Good enough. And of course, if we looked at him versus 12 months ago, I mean, correct. He'd take that all day of the week. But yeah. It's funny, as soon as you get something, you just want more and more yeah. and more, you know? Like, it's but life, isn't it?
At least he's smart enough just to take the points, you
yeah.
know?
But, and, yeah. Dude, going back...
He just wasn't... No one on this planet was going to be close enough to Bez or Marc Marquez, and that's fair enough. They were just on another planet.
That was like mind-blow moment for me was... Third of the last lap, Bez puts in the fastest lap of the race. I mean, that was just... Marquez passes, everyone's like, it's done, finished. And then that little bloody Italian bastard puts the bloody tail whip behind him and, you know, fastest lap of the race, gets within 3/10. I mean, good on you. Like, that was so good
awesome.
To see.
Awesome. We all thought that as soon as he ran wide, we're like, all right, that's done. The easiest pass ever. Mark will clear up, do a 2.5 second lead.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Loved
and
it.
And then just... kept nipping at his heels like a bloody angry Jack Russell.
Black dog, yeah.
Like a black Jack Russell.
Yeah,
no one expected it. Marc Marquez didn't expect it, but it just made for a good race and could be career defining.
Mm.
And he even said it was a better weekend, obviously not the result, but a better weekend performance-wise than Silverstone.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he said it was the best race of his life. I mean, which I... You know, I took that and put it in my back pocket thinking, yeah, it was. And then reflecting on it today, it was like, yeah, amazing.
Wooden leg?
Yeah. 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 I don't know about that one, but...
The movie?
Yeah, it was a movie from the 90s.
Yeah, 97.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit beneath us. We didn't know what was going on, but yeah, they reached their own.
I like it. Yeah. I like a bit of personality.
Bit of personality, a bit of character. And I feel like he's opening up in the media as well. He's, you know, he's... smiling more, he's engaged more, he's answering questions better. So, and that's a very important thing.
It is,
you know, going forward and getting fans on board as well.
And he's on the VR46 train, which is already a rocket ship to stardom. So, he's just got to use that.
I was blown away with the event. I love this new national anthem protocol.
I was going to ask you, that's Liberty Media right there. That's like Formula One. I was like watching F1. Everyone goes to the front of the grid.
So, yeah, front of the grid in that formation at the start of the race. I love that. Costa got fined 500 euros for not removing his hat.
Oh, really?
They get fined if they don't get there quick enough. Same as F1. And they take it so seriously. These guys in F1 are paid millions and millions of dollars. And they're running to get there because they don't want to be fined. But yeah, I loved it. I think it was amazing having Lando Norris there, Kimi Antonelli there. The grid looked awesome. Beautiful skies. I'm like, James, we're gonna be there next year.
Yeah, it did. It looked really good. Such an amazing circuit. But I love like the national anthem thing. I like that. I like those small changes. I like the new trophy. A lot of people don't like it, but I actually don't mind it.
Yeah, it's amazing that track used to go in the other direction.
Yeah,
it's incredible when you think.
Well, superbikes were running that direction up until like the late 90s, early 2000s.
And I was like watching the race last night thinking, what would it be like? I mean, it'd really take turn, is it 10, 11 and 12 after the back straight? That would become not as exciting. But yeah, going into that sort of hairpin would be quite interesting. But you're right, it's a good track either way. But it's interesting, the corners do suit going the other way, some of them, because they really close at the exit and rather than opening up at the exit, which is more traditionally MotoGP track. So, interesting. Dammy's like hyper-fixated about that, about the running the other direction.
Well, he wants it the other direction.
Yeah, hyper-fixation. Yeah.
I don't agree, but yeah.
I
think both the right-handers ways. of that track off the back straight makes that circuit.
Yeah. I think it's a beautiful circuit, really, really good. It's getting tight for those big bikes. It is, and but they made it work. I mean, Marquez passing Bez in the sprint up the inside of that little kink left hander was cool. That was pretty incredible. The bike after when he made that pass, the bikes looked small. You know, they looked small because like he had a width of a Ducati to get through when he went through it. So
we need to talk about it. We've been waiting a long time for this moment, Tom. The V4 Yamaha debuted.
Yeah, I can't believe it's taken, 40 minutes to start talking about it.
Augusto Fernandez.
Yeah, look.
Let me tell you this. I'll give you a bit of information on this. So, Augusto Fernandez had, I think, a jump start.
He did.
Double long lap.
He took Rins with him, I think, or vice versa.
Yeah, double long lap and still beat Chantra.
I did see that.
On a brand new V4 bike from a test rider and a new engine.
Well, look, all through I watched a lot of practice this weekend, which was really good. I watched practice one, practice two, or practice qualifying. The bike, I mean, it looked like it was good. It wasn't 1 second behind last play, which is
competitive,
which would be, you know, disastrous. I mean, being behind Chandra. But yeah, I think it's a positive step. I mean, wait till Quartararo gets his hands on it to really.
Well, they're riding it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Standard. We always, it always comes out mid pod, probably, what the time is. But that takes me back, James, like how important these concessions are going to be going forward into the future. I mean, Honda and Yamaha seem to get so much more track time. I mean, how many more tests have they had this year than what Ducati
had? I think
it's
almost unlimited. I think they can do as many as they want.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's going to be a really important thing going into the future, especially with the new regs in 27. Like how much more time these guys are going to have on these bikes. I mean, it's incredible for the riders. They're getting more time on the bikes. And then obviously from the manufacturer, changing things, new parts and all this. So yeah, these concessions really going to close. I really feel like it's going to be a great thing for MotoGP. And it's really going to close the gap beautifully coming into, say, you know,
it looks like
27, 28.
Honda's working it so well. Like they are, you could almost pencil one of their bikes in now for a top 10, top 8.
Yes.
Which is a crazy thing to say a year and a half ago.
Well, I touched on Mir before about not seeing his crash. He actually, the front ride height device didn't disconnect. So that was the reason for his crash. So that's tail of the tape this morning. But yeah, I mean, they looked better. Marini, again, he's a bit of an asterisk because obviously he's done so many laps around there being VR46.
Yeah, but he still had a couple top sixes.
Yeah.
So I think he's a good signing that I'm happy they've kept them on. Like, I think they're doing everything and more that they need to be doing.
Zarco's a strange one for me.
How did he crash? He crashed with me.
I think it was separate incidents. I'm not sure. I mean, I looked at the media release from Castrol today and they...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You said you've gotten taken out by another rider. I'm not sure if he... With me running, we wouldn't know because it's bloody World SBK coverage. But yeah, it's funny and it's interesting that he had such an amazing start of the year and he sort of, I don't know.
He doesn't have all the same parts the factory boys do.
There you go.
So in his contract to re-sign, it has to be the exact same parts as Repsol Honda, factory Honda, I should say.
Gotcha.
So he actually doesn't have all the same parts.
So it's not a factory
as Marini.
Bike.
Yeah.
Yeah. And which I think is Honda's
what,
taken
which is forward. What pissed him off because he's the one of the results.
Yeah, 100%.
So now it's in his contract for next year that he gets all the factory parts with Marini and me.
Yes.
Which is fair enough because the man has been the most dominant Honda rider.
Yeah.
Since Mark Marquez.
Well, yeah. And they're still trying to work out, I think, what's going on with Idemitsu because Marera's seat's gone for next year in Moto 2, but he hasn't signed yet.
Yeah,
so,
it's all gone quiet.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting to see. Are they waiting for a sponsor's announcement or a big
they
Brazilian...
They must be working something.
Havana flip-flops or something.
Yeah, Brazilian Bank. Brazilian Bank West, BBW. A question for you, and this is a bit different, but... I was watching a lot of the celebrations and how much Marc Marquez is in La Familia of Ducati now. He's Mr. Ducati. Like, they love him. They love him. Marc's always says he's wanted to go back to Honda. But do you think maybe after this season or next couple of seasons, that's still going to be the case?
Look, we're not in on his head, but I think, yeah, I don't... I think it's a fairy tale at the moment for him. The team has just gathered around him like he probably couldn't have dreamed of.
Yeah.
His brother being on the same manufacturer as well. What's going to happen to that second Ducati seat going forward as well? But yeah, you know what's going to happen, James? In 27, Honda are going to come calling and then factory Ducati will sign Alex as a kid, come La Familia.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Spanish La Familia.
Yeah, Spanish.
Il Familia.
Spanish-Italian La Familia.
I think that's for me. That's what happened in Repsol as well. I mean, they wanted to keep Mark happy. They signed Alex that year. Remember? You got to remember that. Like, they would go... People would bloody move mountains to keep this guy.
Well, yeah.
Especially with how they can see what's happened to Fabio this year. It can happen to anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they're going to throw the kitchen sink at him, but like Mark loves winning and like this Ducati is next level. And they've just, as I said, his team is now all around him. He's Mr. Ducati now. Yeah. Like you see the celebrations, how much they get around him. There's families involved. As you said, Alex, it's a really good point you make. So it's just like I've always been out in the attitude that he's going to win like two world titles or three world titles and then go back to Honda. He's always said he wanted to finish his career Honda. But I don't know now, like as the season and everything keeps progressing and how much he's in that Ducati, he's got the Ducati flag, he's holding up the Ducati flag, he's really getting about, you know, really getting around it. I just, like Honda's always going to bounce back. And I'm sure if Mark was on that bike in 2 years' time, he probably will win a world title or win races. But
it's seriously like that.
It's hard to tell.
It's seriously like that meme when you know the meme where the guy's got the girl in his arms and he's looking back. And there's a hotter girl working the other direction. It is seriously Bagnaia's here. Mark Marquez is there. Tardozzi's there. He's like, this is the future now. And you have to think like that because, mate, if Mark Marquez, I mean, we say this every week, but if Mark Marquez was not on that motorcycle, it'd be a disaster year.
Disaster.
For Ducati. Disaster. Even if Alex was winning. If they have a non-factory team win 2 years in a row, it would be a disaster, I'm telling you. And, you know, Bez coming up through now, I mean, coming to the end of the season, he, you don't know what could have happened. So, yeah, for me, they'll do anything to keep him, and they, as they should. They should pay him as much as possible. You got to remember, Mark Marquez took a massive pay cut to be at Gresini. So, for him,
it's turned down 100 mil.
So it's not money for him. It's it's world championships, and you know, does it, is it beating Rossi's record? Is it something that he'll win 11 and then, you know, do something else? Who knows? But I mean, that's the exciting thing for us, isn't it? To look
it
forward
is,
to.
It is exciting. So it's just exciting to see. Yeah,
he's going to stay injury free as well. That's the other thing. Like he still crashes. He still, anything can happen.
I think he's got the second least amount of crashes.
Yeah,
this year with Marini's a first.
Marini's first,
but
yeah.
He also hurt himself really bad and crashed really bad in Suzuka. Ooh, yeah.
Well, it was amazing. Rins has only crashed out of one
main race.
Yeah. So
he's a problem though, Alex Rins. Jeez.
Now we touched on V4 Yamaha before, James, and we had a quick discussion about this over the weekend. How ridiculous it was that in open. They can't run the V4 for the other riders because they haven't left an open slot for their aerodynamics.
Yeah, so they haven't homologated the right aero for the V4. So
and Jack Applegard interviews a personnel at Yamaha, forget who it was, and he was like, was it a mistake? And he's like, it was
like Maya Marigali or something.
Yeah, like Japanese usually, well, they're all run.
It's all Euros now. You look at the Honda and Yamaha teams, it's all Europeans. There's like one token Japanese guy in there, the liaison back to Tokyo. And that's it.
He's an interpreter. Actually, interpreter.
Yeah. Tell me I'm wrong, though.
No, it's true. But for me, like, I mean, we're not in the ins and we're not in the inner sanction there, but that seems like a massive mistake, like a ridiculous mistake. Yeah. How they didn't leave an open slot to homologate the new aero for the V4, and they can't run the bike then for the rest of the season.
No, they can't.
They can do one more wild card, is it?
Two Sepang more. And I think maybe Valencia, maybe.
Yeah, they'll have it at the preseason test, obviously.
But they could have had Jack Miller jump. They could have theoretically had Jack Miller on a V4 for the rest of the season.
Well, why wouldn't you? Like, you have him there. You've signed him for next year to develop the bike. And
he's ran V4s his whole career. So, like, yeah, they made it. But you know what? At least they said they've made that mistake. And
100%. I totally agree. Like, if they tried to dance around the issue, that's different.
They owned it. But isn't that funny? I was actually thinking about that when I was watching practice qualifying, and I had it on my notes. Isn't it just funny that all the Japanese teams are all just Europeans now, which was a part of our 10-point plan, but there's like three Japanese guys, if that.
We should redo our 10-point plan for our Patriots and figure out out of the 10 how many we got right. We're probably 9 out of 10. Maybe Mick Doerr not running Honda's probably the one we missed, but the rest of them were pretty accurate.
They were pretty accurate. Mick Doohan didn't turn up to the Hall of Fame. William Elsett, that didn't.
Yes. Interesting. It's I wonder what the excuse was there.
Selling jets, mate.
Selling jets. And Wayne Gardner's selling bikes, isn't he? It's amazing that he's different
e-bikes
business.
Or some shit. I was going to ask you this. If you're at, I don't know, Aprilia or Ducati or running a team, who is leading you into the future? Marco Bezzecchi or Alex Marquez?
Marco Bezzecchi.
Yeah? No ifs or buts?
Nah, Marco Bezzecchi. I think he's got both future for selling things, you know, marketable for me. And we met him in Thailand. The guy's got an aura about him. Like, Bessie is the same. Like, he's got auras about him. Not saying Alex doesn't, but he'll always just be in that shadow, I think, of Mark. So,
and a better rider?
I mean, I'd scrap both of them and get sign a Costa for me.
Jesus, you really turned around on the Costa. You poo-pooed him inside of you.
No. He just needs to be on a better bike.
So I've been saying this whole time, mate. I finally jumped on.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is how, like, oh, no, it's actually another question I've got for you. Right, let me read this one out for you. Who would you rather take for Aprilia if you had to keep one? Bezzecchi or Martin?
Oh, that's a hard one. Oh, it's such a hard one.
I know, because Bez is kind of proven himself. Oh, dude, like,
pre-season. Pre-season.
You would have laughed at it if you said Bez.
You got to go Bez, don't you?
Wow.
Oh, I mean, Martin's a world champion, you know, but he's disrespect La Familia.
You know, I asked you this question about a month ago and you said Martin.
Yeah, right.
What a death you just said.
Well, there you go. Well, I think he's changed everyone's opinion, hasn't he?
Oh, I agree with you.
For me, I'm telling you, I can't stop talking about it. This Bez ride last night was the ride of the season, arguably, for me. Like, what he was up against... how he put it to Mark, you just don't see that. You don't see it. And you haven't seen it this year.
You don't.
Like, you're 1.5 seconds behind Mark Marquez, you're not coming back near. And you're not getting up to the back of him. Yes, and Mark pushing as hard as you possibly can. You got to remember, Bez ran wide as well and let him through. I mean, that was unfortunate. I mean, he would have got him, but, you know, he might have kept him behind a couple of more laps. It might have been a bit different. So
you can also say that Alex Marquez had just as good as a ride in Barcelona and he actually won.
Yeah.
Behind him.
Did he let him win though?
Oh. So you can't forget that either.
At the end of the day, can I just talk to you about that for 1 second after reflecting on it for a week? He didn't let him win. No. But
of course not.
But was Bezzecchi there, Mark would have gone up to the back of him and put a move on. 1,000%. 1,000%. And deep down, everyone knows that.
I think I agree.
Jeez, that's an unusual statement, isn't that, Curtis? James agrees.
Yeah, it's hard work. I'm with you, Bez.
Yeah. Let's talk about best, unless you got any more questions for me.
Go on.
Best year for me, disappointment of the round. I had him in the top three. He's had great form there. He's had a couple of podiums and a win.
I think he's podiumed every time he's been there.
And you know what? He may have not had that bad of a race if it wasn't his practice and qualifying. He completely muffed that up.
Yeah.
Completely muffed it up. Nothing clean. There was no clean laps in practice. He tried to get into, you know, the Q2 and then crashed. I mean, at the pivotal moment, it was 5 minutes left and he crashed. Yeah, just so inexcusable when he's got that much form there. The KTM wasn't performing perfectly around that track like it has been in the last few rounds, but it's still up there, still top five pace.
Yeah, definitely still top pace.
Biggest disappointment for me. I really, really had a feeling for Bez this weekend. But yeah, it's interesting. The KTM seems to like more of like a low grip sort of scenario where the Aprilia is like the high grip track. So for me, it's going to be toing and froing every race going forward.
Yeah. Well, look. Well, to be fair, though, Misano's a low-grip track.
No, Misano's got heaps of grip.
That's why I don't have high tyre degradation. We'll talk about it in first practice. And Barcelona's a high-grip track, and that's why they have heaps of tyre drop-off.
Yeah, okay.
But going back to your point, like, I think you're right. Like, he should have done better.
Mm.
He definitely should have been fast on a track that he definitely knows, and he's got heaps of form at.
Mm.
But it was hard to judge how KTM really were that round because of the mechanicals.
You are true. I mean, Binder was in the sprint, wasn't he? And then it was Acosta in the main race.
Yeah, Binder got 9th or 10th in the main race, which is like okay, but I don't know.
Nothing. But his chain popped in the sprint, didn't he, Binder?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was 5th or 6th at the time, wasn't he? I'm sure. My memory
I can't remember.
From 2 nights ago has escaped me, but I didn't think he wasn't up the back or anything. So
no, he wasn't up the back. Like they're all like mid pack further forward form.
Yeah. And going back to quali as well, Acosta again, silly mistake when it mattered. You know, he puts it down again with about 5 minutes. He's done that so many times this year. It's been his Achilles heel.
Yeah.
The last 5 minutes of Q2 is just he just makes silly mistakes. So.
It's basically being the KDMs. They almost can't do a one lap hot lap. Those KDMs.
Well, they've been complaining about that all year, haven't they? Their rear grip on the soft tires. So,
yeah.
It gets into your head, doesn't it?
Yeah. And like qualifying is everything these days. Hey, what about Quartararo, man? Qualifying again on the front row. If Fuck, he's a star.
He is, yeah. I mean, he was it's amazing seeing him ride that Yamaha, especially those last two corners. He's just on the ragged edge, you know, he's just his body's moving everywhere to get, you know, right on the inside. He just puts everything into it. And he put up a good fight, you know, in the main race. He really did. But just, you know, again, going back to him versus Costa on that back straight, it was like a Moto 2 versus a Moto GP bike. I could not believe the closing speed. You know?
I know. He's just a sitting duck. And he's a sitting duck after the first lap.
And it's not even the top speed. It's the, like, second, third gears. You know, going through those gears, just the traction that KTM got, that engine power. I mean, it's, yeah. Hopefully the V4 will change that.
I think it'll be a little bit better, but they still need to have the right aero package. Like, there's still so much to it.
I thought they might have had that all ready to go. Like, I was expecting, you know, they've had a year to work that out. But
it's like having it's like cooking a burger with no buns.
Yeah.
You know, you can't eat the burger.
Yeah, exactly right. It becomes a steak then, doesn't it?
Take that to the Japanese. Yeah. Like, mate, a burger. You mean sushi with no seaweed?
Sushi, no rice. Yeah. So
that's a better one.
He did well. But I wanted to ask you, where to now for Oliveira? Because for me, he's been nowhere for 2-3 years. He's had a lot of injuries, we know, but he's starting to show a little bit again. I'm thinking,
dead cat bounce, bro. You ever heard that expression?
Yeah. It's incredible for me. Like, would you go to World Superbikes how it is, or is it worth trying to find a ride in Moto 2, God forbid?
I think if you're Miguel Oliveira, you don't go back to Moto 2. Yeah, look, it's unfortunately, and everyone knows that the World Superbikes is the graveyard of MotoGP riders at the moment. And I believe BMW's offered him good money to race for them. Factory BMW, which, I don't know, like, that's what you're probably going to have to take. You're either going to be doing that or you're a test rider. And what would you rather, World Superbikes, a factory bike, or be a test rider?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Augusto Fernandez seems like he's wasting his life, doesn't he, being a test rider? I mean,
but if you get good, bro, if you're making 600 grand a year being a test rider, I don't know, that's a pretty good gig.
I know, but these guys are born racers. I mean, how do you...
He's a Moto 2, but both, I think, Moto 2 World
Champions. Yeah, but how do you just sit back and be a test rider for... You know, in your prime of your life. I mean, the guys, what, Augusto Fernandez, is he 27, 26, 27?
I don't know.
In the prime of his racing life and he's a test rider. I mean, I'd want to be winning races. These guys are growing up winning all the time and now he's a test rider.
See, Shavs, I'm rolling around in a bit of a stinky car at the moment. How can you help me?
Doesn't surprise me, mate. Doesn't surprise me. James, I have the product for you, my friend. We have Motorsport Republica air fresheners, all your favorite drivers and riders.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
There's Rossi, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri.
All the famous ones we have. We've also got t-shirts in stock. So if you want to go run your Motorsport Republica t-shirt, James, you're more than welcome to.
Can I sink beers in it?
You can do anything you want with it.
Ah, yeah, I like that.
So jump on to motorsportrepublica.com.au. And guys, it supports us. It supports the pod. And we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
I understand Lucas Savadori, Dovizioso.
Piro,
I understand these guys. But for me, a guy in the prime of his life, I mean, I don't know why
he can't get that. The ride, bro.
I mean, maybe he's going, I need to be in that paddock. I want to be in that MotoGP paddock because I might wildcard. I might finish in the top four and then a team goes, oh, geez, he's still got it. I might sign him for next year. Like we've seen with Danny Munoz in Moto 2. I mean, that guy comes in. I've never even heard of this kid before. And he, you know, finishes on the podium, gets signed for Intel Trans for next year. Takes Moreira's spot. Crazy. So, I mean, think about all the other talent that's around and you've gone in and gone, oh my God, this guy's the X Factor. He got signed. Mm. And now he's got a year. You know, he might get a multi-year deal. I don't know what happened, but normally a year in the smaller classes. So,
it's a good point you make. I would like to see Miguel Oliveira in World Superbikes just to actually see how he goes. It's always a good barometer when a MotoGP rider goes back.
Yeah.
Like when Bautista won the first 10 races, still couldn't beat Johnny Ray for the first two seasons, whatever it was.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Top Rack's going to debut the 26 bike at Valencia. They've announced today.
Oh, really?
So that's... and they've also organized a private test for him as well. I'm not sure when, but that's so he sort of can acclimatize to the 26. So that's exciting for him.
That's good. And I want him to do that.
Goes back to that concession thing, you know, with Yamaha. I mean, if he signed for Primac Ducati, he wouldn't have been able to ride that bike in a private test. But because he signed for Primac Yamaha, as they've become, he can ride this bike now because they can, as you said, test. I don't know if it's unlimited, but
I think it's unlimited. I'm pretty sure it is.
So that's a good, great thing for him. And what that's a smart thing to sign because he's going to wound up at, you know, Thailand next year with, he wouldn't have had a lot of laps. So, and a MotoGP bike, I mean, how much different that's going to be for him?
So much different. Yeah. And he's done a couple of tests, but nothing like what it's a full race spec bike.
Oh, it's a completely different animal, as we know.
Yeah. Jack Miller fined €2,000 for going back up the wrong way, the back straight.
It was a strange one. I don't know. You know, apparently, they said TNT Sports. They were like, a guy had a big sign that said, would swap gloves for a beer. And so, Jack Miller, I mean, how good's that?
Of course, that's the Aussie rider.
Yeah. I think that's great for the fans. And I mean, probably, it was the most expensive $2,000 he's ever, the most expensive beer he's ever bought. But he'll gain fans from that.
That's that's awesome.
He's signed for next year. He's got the contract. So, probably a good two grand to spend, I'd say.
Exactly. Exactly right.
All right. That's it from me, Jimmy Boy. If you want to get on to La Hot Takes. Moto 2. Moto 2. I've even got the results ready for you.
Oh my God, good, because I can't talk dribble while I get you that because I'm dying.
Oh, I talk about like local knowledge.
I know.
I was waiting for you for this. Celestino Vietti, first place. I mean, well done. Amazing. It's amazing how these guys come out of the woodwork for their home races. Barry Baltas, again, amazing ride. I mean, he came from the clouds to almost get him. 3 seconds behind with two laps to go and then nearly gets him.
He went down to about 1.2 in the last lap.
Danny Holgado, third, showing amazing things. Yep. Diego Moreira, fourth. Senna Agius, fifth. Good great ride. Grand Prix from him. Manu Gonzalez, sixth. Aaron Canet, seventh. David Alonso, not a lot of screen time from David. We didn't see him much on the TV, but eighth. Tony Arbolino, ninth. Holy still blaming the tyres. And then 10th, Izan Guevara, 10th place. Former Moto 3 world champion.
Yep. Yeah. It was a good race. Just Vietti just ran away with it and just stumbled his way home. But yeah, as you said, local knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
out of nowhere, bro.
I know, they love it. They love it in these classes. I mean, 10 different winners this year in Moto 2.
It's all Moto 2 is very healthy.
Like 10 different winners. That's incredible. And I don't know, is that in 16 races or 15 races? I mean, that's amazing. So, can you believe we've had that many races this year?
I know. I can't believe it. I sort of spoke about the start. Like, I cannot believe how fast.
I feel like
it's
yesterday
gone.
We were like halfway through the season, and now it's just amazing. Weird. We're coming to the flyways now. So, great, unbelievable effort from Barry Baltas. As they said on the coverage, probably the most improved rider in the paddock at the moment.
Definitely. 100%. So, again, nowhere.
Him and Alex Marquez, I mean, probably in the same category where they've just battled it out for years and years and years, and then something's just clicked in the right direction. So, awesome for him. I think it's a really good thing for him going forward, and confidence will be high going into the flyaways.
Holgado's really finding his feet. With David Alonso to a degree, but Holgado is doing awesome. Another podium again. He's now just consistently quick on that Aspar bike. So he's definitely one to watch. And I think him and David Alonso and Manu Gonzalez next year, Senna Agius, like they're going to be the ones. Maybe Aaron Canet.
They're all the same age, all 19 years old. I mean, it's going to be
20. Yeah,
it's going to be really exciting for them. And I think, as we touched on each and every week, it's so healthy this category. And if the rumors are true that Moto 3 isn't going to go to every race going forward, and more of a European, this is where Moto 2 will be even bigger and bigger again. Yeah. I mean, it'll be a massive category. So. Yeah. That's, you know, it might be a category where people stay in for multiple years. Like it probably hasn't been that for the last 10 to 15 years.
The best will go in and out in two, maybe three. But Alex Marquez was in Moto 2 for like 4 years at least. Like, yeah, it takes time. I'm struggling, mate.
All right.
Sorry, listeners.
Moto 3, you're doing well. Rueda again. I mean, amazing.
Your boy as well. Yeah. Right? He's your boy.
He is. Yeah.
I think you got him on the D4.
DS4, yep. Maximo Quiles second. Adrian Fernandez third, Joel Kelso fourth. They're going to be teammates next year. Angel Piqueras fifth, Valentin Peroni sixth, most Argentinian Italian name. David Munoz seventh. Incredible ride. Incredible ride from Munoz. Went stupid move, went into the gravel trap, and then comes back and finishes seventh.
Yeah, he's quick in
the only 8 seconds behind the leader. He would have lost. He probably would have lost all that plus more. Yeah. Yamanaka eighth, Guido Pini ninth, Carpe in 10th place. Jacob Rulston just outside. He lost the tyres at the end, but still an incredible weekend from him. Front row and qualifying was an amazing effort. So, what on, Jacob?
Yeah, good. Again, Moto 3 is an amazing race, and it was like every race is, but like three or four down to like the last corner. And then Rueda makes a pass in the last corner in the last lap. And a clean pass was as good as you're ever going to get.
When's the last time we've had two Aussies on the front row
of Moto 3?
Of anywhere, anything.
I would say Chris Le Mans 2007.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
So Stoner and Vermeulen.
But I don't know. Vermeulen wasn't on the front row because it was a dry qualifying. He was like, I remember watching that race not too long ago. The dude was like 12th on the grid.
It's probably been a long, long time since we've seen that, especially in the light class. We haven't had a winner since 2014. So, Joel, MLAV Racing next year, partnering up with Adrian Fernandez. So,
I didn't realize Adrian Fernandez is riding for them.
So, this is the classic thing. They've MLAV Racing have been Eddie O'Shea's and...
British talent.
That's what they're all about. But obviously, they're making a change next year and they want to win. So, hopefully that's in good stead because it's been a bike that has been at the back of the grid. So we really hope that makes a big change with those two new riders coming in, because obviously Michael Laverty is a big name in the sport as well. We hope that, you know, he's big name in Superbikes and also
British Superbikes.
TT. So it's exciting for Kelso. A lot of people are saying it's a bit of a backward step for him, but who knows? I mean, the team might have some changes coming up. Obviously, signing Adrian Fernandez, they're not mucking around. They're obviously putting all their eggs in this basket. So
they're on a Honda, I believe, though, which is a bit of a concern.
Yes. New bike next year, though.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I would love to see him in Moto 2. I think we all would have. I think his body's suited for that. But Joel's a smart guy.
Very smart guy.
He's very misunderstood or underrated when you speak to him. Very business savvy, has a lot of great ideas moving forward in this class and in MotoGP. So he'll have his he hasn't just taken whatever. I think he's got a plan in place. So it's still exciting that he's still in the grid, because I was talking to him 2 years ago with Daniel on the podcast, and he was, you know, he had to pay a big amount of money to stay on that paddock, and now he's obviously getting paid, which is great. So
how far is this Max Killers kid gonna come, man? Because that dude's like only like first race was in Coda or whatever.
Yep.
He's, I think, third in the championship, fourth in the championship. Like missed, crashed in races as well. Like he's got so much star power.
Yeah, he does. He's
like Rueda's amazing, obviously, but he rode last year. But for a young rookie, 17, fucking.
There's so much excitement in these younger classes. So much excitement, and
the talent is just so much depth.
I know. We just got so. I mean, I just don't remember it being like this. I mean, you got the. You can have one in a decade generation talents in both Moto 3, Moto 2, and then obviously with Marc Marquez in Moto GP at the moment. I mean, yeah, it seems like they're all under the one roof as well.
I think they kind of get found out once they go to Moto GP if they're not on the right bike. And Pedro Acosta's kind of that example at the moment.
Yeah, he's, there's a lot of examples like that. Tito Rabat, double Moto 2 world champion, was like last at the back in Moto GP. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, those days are numbered as well, where the bikes were so different. I think the best bike on the grid versus the worst bike on the grid, I don't think there's a massive difference. I mean, you could arguably say the Yamaha's the worst bike on the grid, but then you got Quartararo, you know, second starting in.
The gap has shortened.
Shortened massively.
Like a prime example is early days four stroke era. This is for all our autistic listeners, this is all of you. You would have like Repsol Honda, Valentino Rossi. Yeah. You've got like so much money coming in. And then you've got like the WCM bikes, which is like the prototype WCM home garage four stroke MotoGP bike, which was just nowhere near even getting points.
Yeah.
Famously ridden by James Allison. But yeah, like that's what type of gap it used to be. Massive. And even in, you know, 2010, the gap was huge between like even a Repsol Honda and like a shitty old fucking Ducati or whatever. A Ducati with a 20, I think it was Brett Stevens said, those Ducatis Valentino Rossi raced, which, you know, the gap's not too much, I guess, then, but 20 different parts to one foot peg.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So if you crash a bike, you have to order 20 parts to make that foot peg, or to attach that foot peg.
It's so Italian though, isn't it?
That's so crazy.
It's so crazy. And the parts are going to be shipped from Italy in like at $14,000 shipping. So
get Damo on the blower. He'll tell you a good reason why it
should be
like that.
Yeah, he will. He's still defending. I love it. All right, Jimmy boy, hot takes. Put us out of our misery.
All right. Thank you for everyone putting them in. We were a bit late. Sorry, that was me because I was sick over the weekend. I just didn't put it up and I forgot. To this afternoon, but thank you for everyone putting them in on late notice. And we've still got fucking heaps.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Really good ones. First one, our boy Hart_Melbourne. When do Ducati lose interest in Pecco Bagnaia? Mark's not only talent, but also look at the morale on his side.
Oh, massive. Yeah, I mean it's gonna be next year for him, and
yeah,
he's gonna have another year. And I think he's going to probably want out as much as they want him out as well. So
that's a crazy thing to say, bro. It's just so crazy what we're talking about.
It's, mate.
The morale is just... But I've never seen anything like
it. I know. Like, I remember in Thailand, we're standing there in front of the Ducati pits. We're in the pit lane. We're staring at them and they've got the music blaring. And they got Pecco who had a... You know, they both had fairly good races. But I remember thinking, geez, Pecco just got beaten, you know, in his first race. I said and it was just all downhill from there.
Yeah, because even his morale then was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it was so negative in the media. Yeah,
even Coda was negative.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's he won Coda though, didn't he?
Yeah, but before, like when they were doing the bike swap shit for the rain.
Yeah.
I just really do think Mark had him mentally beat before the first round.
Yeah, I did, yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, it's, and now it's just a shell shock, you know?
I love that word. Shell shock.
It's the Italian war tanks.
Yeah.
One gear forwards, four gears back. Sepsi, you like that one?
Highway what?
I know, I can't say that
one. That's for our Patreon episode.
It is.
At Yard_guitars. Broadcast did MotoGP dirty, showing vile Rossi fans. This won't help grow the sport. So my question from that is, does showing, you know, people putting up the finger help grow the sport or not?
I think you get a wry smile out of some people watching that. I think Marquez had the last laugh at the end of the day anyway. Very interesting they did that. And I said that's why I had it in my notes. It was, you know, completely wrong in my notes. But for me, it was very interesting in telling that they did that. And I don't know. It just could be... I think they love it. I think Liberty Media coming in as well, they're going to just thrive on that, especially if Mark equals him this year. Well, when he equals him, I should say. You know, they're gonna love that. They're going to build that even more.
Because the fans...
It's a golden nugget. It's a golden nugget. Yes,
100%. And the fans in like MotoGP compared to F1 are a lot more rough around the edges.
Yes.
You know, like F1, like everyone cheers when someone puts a fucking hot lap in, but if... It's just different. How different is it at Albert Park?
Yeah, it's...
There's no...
It's a little bit more low T.
It's way more low T. It's like, you know, I could put my finger through some of the people that watch Formula One. Like, there's just no padding there.
You're fingering someone, eh?
Fish, mate. Fish. At Mr.Ducky_09. Honda will be stronger than ever in Japan.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Wow, Honda owned that track as well at Mitegi. So I'm excited. I love Japan. I love that track. Heavy braking. More of an F1 track, that. So
You've always loved Mitegi.
And Marquez is amazing around that track. Amazing. And the Ducati is always good around that track. So
you want to know something funny about Mitegi? My whole life, I only discovered this a few weeks ago. It's actually pronounced Mitegi, Motegi.
Mitegi.
I always thought it was... And I'll write it, Mon. Tegi.
Yeah, Motegi. Yeah.
It took me 30 years.
Yeah.
Got a podcast about MotoGP. Still got the track.
Oh, you actually thought it was Montegi?
Till about 2 weeks
ago. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Because I think sometimes you say Montegi and they'll just follow suit. But yeah, it's Motegi. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been saying it wrong the whole time, just believing myself.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Stubbornness, that is.
Don't make me laugh.
Got him.
Yeah, it's got him. Sean_Cody. Shout out to Sean.
Yes. Sean sent some great stuff in.
Said some awesome stuff in. He was at... This man was at Misano with Marquez gear on. Take it away, Tom.
That's... I actually didn't realize that, Shorty. That's fucking... That's
normally social suicide, but again, he had the last laugh.
He got photos of all the Italian marshals.
I have to admit,
they had a Marquez flag and everything.
There was lots of Marquez hats, more than what I thought there was going to
be. Bro, I know.
The only thing is, this year they can get away with it because it's, you know, it's Ducati, isn't it? So,
yeah, I don't think full-blown Italians don't like that still. They're never happy, but Martin will never compete for a championship again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a bit harsh. I mean,
that's harsh, isn't it?
We just got to wipe this year off.
Fully fit Martin.
1 year, 1 week I'm saying he'll get a podium next week, and next week I'm saying you're going to wipe it off. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry.
If he's not going to beat a fully fit Marc Marquez in his prime, though, that's for sure. No one's beating Marc Marquez.
No one's beating Marc Marquez this year.
I just don't know when he's going to slow down.
He might just crash again. That's the only way.
But if people that have those crashes, like Freddie Spencer or Mick Doohan or whoever, they retire. This guy comes back.
Mm.
He's like the Terminator. Jorge Martin already took that shitty celebration.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Better than Bagnaia's ones, but 3 points. Fuck, that
3-point dunk. That was shit ass. Yeah. Richard _ Conrad. Yamaha have 96 more points than the same time last year, but are 16 points further from the top. I still think that's promising. They got 96 points more because Marc Marquez on the top is just such a different level to all the other guys.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's so competitive this year. I mean, everyone's fast. I mean, except Chantra. Everyone has the capability of being in a top 10 probably. So
yeah,
that always makes it difficult. You normally had like 5 or 6 guys that were going to be at the back. You just don't have that this year.
It's just, bro, Chantra is like, it was 61 seconds off elite.
Mm.
And like double long laps. Augusto Fernandez is passing him. Like, it's bad, man.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Jared.Madsen, MotoGP has the worst TV broadcast of all major motorsports. Well, Superbikes is worse, but
yeah,
I don't know. I don't, like, yes, the replays wasn't great, but I liked yeah how they went to the crowd and did all that. Like, so there's still some good aspects there.
The best thing they do is when they're focusing on a battle, they've also got like the front leader of the top left-hand corner in that little box. So you can watch both at the same time.
Yeah, I love that.
That's something that actually F1 stole off MotoGP.
There you go.
In recent years. So, yeah.
I like that. At @I_M_Animax. Looks like 2026 will be Aprilia versus Mark. I agree 100% with that.
Yeah, 100%. I agree as well. Just the only asterisk to that is if this 24 bike miraculously makes Bagnaia fast again.
It's not going to happen.
And we, that's why we said miraculously.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
But then the whole argument doesn't make sense because how can you be nearly winning the championship on that bike? They're going to have a glorified shiny version of it and he's still going to be nowhere. It's all up here.
I knew that's exactly right. I was about to do the exact same thing. It's all up and between the years.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's going to be Aprilia and Marco Bezzecchi. Teaming up against Marc Marquez, and yeah, there's so many interesting factors for next year that we're already thinking about. Like, you know, what's Jorge Martin going to be like? What's Alex Marquez going to be like? And how if Marco Bezzecchi can continue his form? Like,
jeez,
you know, there's a lot of good open-ended questions.
Yep.
Honda,
not a lot of answers just yet.
Nope. At Brendan Sarton, Honda being a top 10 qualifier bike, would Marc Marquez be on podiums with that bike on a regular basis? Yes.
You reckon?
I think he's just so good, man. Like, wow. He's going to podium on that bike. If Marini's putting it in like 6 some rounds.
Yeah, it's hard.
He'll still probably try and kill himself to win, though.
There's always an excuse, though. I mean, Marquez didn't come to on this Gresini Ducati and was podium pace straight away. I mean, yes, he had, 2 wins and was stood on the podium for several times, but he wasn't the front of the grid straight away. I think it always takes a year or two to learn how the bike works. Mm. You know, he's not jumping on a Honda next year and getting podiums, I don't think.
No. No, I guess not, but I don't know.
I mean, the guy's the GOAT, but, you know, for me, it still has taken him a year to get used to that bike, and we all know that.
Yeah,
and he's changed his riding style. He's gone from being so aggressive at the start, which he still is off the line, but then he goes into this conservation mode that he never used to do, especially in Gresini last year, and now he's learned to let the bot tires wear in, and then just is the master of this. The last third of the race. So.
Absolute master. No one can stop him. All right, that's all the questions we got, mate.
Did well tonight, mate.
Thanks. We're just going to carry on in our Patreon extra chats.
Yes, extra chats. So flick over to that now, guys. But we appreciate the love and support. We've got Phillip Island only a month away.
Yes.
So, guys, get down there. We're going to be there all weekend. Love to catch up with everyone.
Yeah.
And then we're off to Malaysia the week after. So,
and there's heaps of Aussies in Malaysia. So catch up with us in Malaysia. Send us a message where you're staying. We're staying.
We'll be in the red light district.
Imagine. But yeah, it's we're excited for Phillip Island and everything. Catching up with everyone. It's going to be fun. Drink some beers.
Yes, get some Guinness in us. That'll be super exciting. So thanks, guys. We really appreciate it.
See you on Extra Chats, mate.
Yes.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.